For all the yelling between creationists and scientists, there's one perspective that's largely absent from public discussions about evolution. The religious believers who accept the standard Darwinian account of evolution. It's a shame because there's an important question at stake. How can a person of faith justify that faith after Darwin? That's the question John Haught has set out to answer by proposing a theology of evolution. Haught's a Roman Catholic theologian at Georgetown University. Steve Paulson spoke with him.
For years, we've been bombarded by arguments over religion and evolution, and yet you say theology has not yet come to grips with Darwin. What are theologians missing?
The reason that there has been resistance, I mean, this has been probably one of the most dramatic events that theology, at least in the West, has ever had to face. The Darwinian story of evolution seems to give people a whole new creation story, different from the one that they had lived under for so many centuries.
You're talking about more than just the story of Genesis and the Bible. You're talking about a much bigger issue for most modern theology.
Yes, the story of Genesis has been hyped as the only problem. That's one of many aspects of the problem. I think the fundamental difficulty is the new evolutionary world in process, a world that's unfinished, a world that's still being created, the world that still, you might say, every day comes up a little further above nothingness. It's so different from the cosmology that was the backbone or the backdrop of traditional spirituality and moral aspiration.
Now, I would have thought that the real challenge, the biggest challenge that evolutionary theory poses to most religions is the sense that there's no inherent meaning in the world. I mean, if you look at the process of natural selection, this apparently random series of genetic mutations, it would seem that there's no place for ultimate purpose there, that human beings are just an evolutionary accident.
In order to have a sense of meaning or purpose, there has to be some hierarchical structuring, you might say, of the cosmos. And when you come to the new scientific understanding of the universe, it seems that there are no sharp breaks between lifeless matter and life, between life and mind, and so that the traditional hierarchical structuring of meaning has become fluid. And it seems to many people that the new evolutionary picture of things places everything in the context of a meaningless smudge of stuff. Now, if you look at the new cosmography, it seems that mindless matter dominates the whole picture. You're right. Many intellectuals, many scientists, many biologists are convinced, as is Richard Dawkins, for example, and Stephen Jay Gould, that evolution has destroyed the notion of purpose. So one of the things that I try to do in my theology is to point out that that's not necessarily true at all.
Well, it would seem that there might be a simple response to this, that purpose is a matter for theologians and philosophers to argue about, but purpose is simply not a scientific word, that the two have nothing to do with each other. Do you accept that distinction?
I sure do, but I want to point out how that distinction is usually violated in scientific literature and in much discussion of evolution. I believe that science from the beginning of the modern world decided quite rightly that it wasn't going to tackle such questions as purpose, value, meaning, importance, or talk about God, or even talk about intelligence or subjectivity. It was going to look for purely natural, efficient, causal, mechanical explanations of things. But what happens is that that principle of scientific Puritanism is often violated by so-called experts who think that by dint of their scientific expertise, they are now able to comment on such things as purpose. And I consider that to be a great violation.
Give me examples of what you mean, of scientists who extrapolate about purpose from science.
Well, a good example is the Nobel Prize-winning physicist Steven Weinberg, who in his book Dreams of a Final Theory says that once science gets down to what he calls the fundamental levels of reality, he asks, will we find God? And it's almost as though he assumes that science itself has the capacity, the prowess, the power, the right to comment on things like that. My view is that theology, instead of trying to ignore it or close its eyes to it or shove it in the drawer, should look it squarely in the face, and it has everything to gain and nothing to lose by doing so. And in my own work, what I try to do in my book, God After Darwin and Others, is to argue that in a sense, Darwin's thought is a gift to theology.
You're saying that it's forced theologians to sharpen their thinking?
Yes, and I came to this whole idea of evolutionary theology long, long ago when I was still a very, very young man. I read the works of a famous Jesuit paleontologist named Teilhard de Chardin. And Teilhard in the early 20th century was saying pretty much what I'm saying today. And Teilhard was sent by his superiors to study geology and paleontology, and he was a priest at the time, and he was trying to think, well, what does what I'm learning about the evolutionary character of life on Earth have to do with my Christianity? And he started writing essays synthesizing evolution into a very broad understanding of his faith. And his religious superiors thought that these essays that he was writing were just a bit too adventurous for the time, so they shipped him off to China, which is the wrong place to send people who like to dig up old bones, because Teilhard got involved in expeditions that uncovered Peking Man and other interesting evolutionary phenomena. And during all this time, 25 or so years in China, he was still trying to develop his ideas, synthesizing Christianity and evolution. And he was writing his major work, The Phenomenon of Man, now translated as The Human Phenomenon, but he could not get it published in his own lifetime because the church and his superiors were not ready for this, it seemed. But after he died, his lay friends took his works and they flooded the religious world with these publications. And it ended up that Teilhard had an enormous influence on religious thought, especially Catholic thought.
Didn't he make the point that the universe is still evolving? That's sort of the transformation that he was trying to chart. And he saw that in the natural world as well.
Yeah. What he did, and this is what a lot of biologists do not do, is he put the Darwinian chapters of the story of nature in the larger context of cosmic evolution. And he saw that you can, by anybody's standards, see an emergence of what he called more coming in from the time of the Big Bang, let's say. Atoms become molecules, molecules become cells, cells become organisms, organisms become vertebrates with a complex nervous system, nervous tissue develops and eventually becomes very, very complex in humans. And it raises the question, well, where is this process of complexification, which is accelerating today at an enormous pace because of communication technology, engineering, economics, politics. The globe is shrinking. We're able to connect instantaneously with other aspects of the Earth. We should expect and we should look for and hope for the universe to keep becoming more.
Earlier, you said that cosmic purpose is a question that lies outside of science, but it sounds like you're bringing it into science here. There's this inexorable process towards more complexity, and if you want to look for purpose, whether it's evolution or whether it's within the larger universe, that's what it is.
Okay, we have to distinguish between science as a method and what science produces in the way of discovery. As a method, science does not ask the questions of purpose, and rightly so, it brackets those out. But when we look at the cumulative results of scientific thought as well as technology and so forth, then that's part of the world that we have to, from a theological point of view, integrate into our religious visions. And what is the purpose? The purpose seems to be, from the very beginning, the intensification of consciousness. And if you understand purpose as the actualizing of a value or the bringing about or realizing of something that's unquestionably good, then consciousness certainly fits. A universe which has been in the business from the very start of bringing forth a complexity which has a correlative intensity of consciousness is a pretty good universe.
John Haught is a Catholic theologian at Georgetown University. His books include God After Darwin and God and the New Atheism. He spoke with Steve Paulson. You'll find a transcript of Steve's entire interview with John Haught on our website at ttbook.org/scienceandmeaning.